welcome to the 15th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave,
hi everyone,
are joined by LMNFA men's team manager, Paul Jones. Paul, welcome back to Podcast HQ. You've probably been here more than me and Dave at this rate, to be honest.
Yeah, it feels like I'm here a fairly regular visitor. I hope that's because I'm interested in you like my company rather than... just because you've got nobody else.
Of course, no. It's always a pleasure to have you in, Paul. Of course, we got you in this week because next Wednesday we've got a big game at the Bowl, 7:30 kickoff. To give it a good plug. Derry City are coming over, League of Ireland outfit. League Cup winners last year. So we're going to talk about that today, amongst the many other things. We've got some great questions in. And of course, we kick off, as always, with the biscuit review.
Of course.
Now, I toddled over to the garage a bit earlier, Dave. Now, don't be put off by six for a pound, Jonesy. I think that's actually quite good value.
It's almost as good value as £3 admission for adults and £1 for concessions next week.
Boom, boom. See that? He's a pro. Yeah. He's a pro.
He knows what he's doing.
So we've got blue ribbons, Nestle's blue ribbons. Here you go, Jonesy.
Oh, mate, this is bringing me back to childhood. Every Saturday after Russian training as a 6, 7, 8 year old, my gran used to live opposite the Croit Larry. And I used to come in with a jug of orange juice, orange cordial, and a blue ribbon, and a prawn cocktail crisps. So there you go. You brought me back to the good moments of my life.
A good diet that set out your athletic career.
Well, that's it. See, now, I bet they didn't. The Worcesters wasn't their selling tag back then. They've only got 92 calories in these now. So
really?
I think this
They're a lot smaller than they used to be as well.
Do you think? Or is that because you were smaller?
I've just got bigger hands.
Apparently, know your servings. One biscuit equals one serving.
So that's where I've been going all these years.
Anyway, so let's talk about the game. I'm going to have some of the blue ribbon first. You picked it up.
A bit of sound effect in the background there. He's munching away.
It's very wafery, isn't it?
It is a wafer chocolate. It is a wafer. I think that's probably the chocolate wafer biscuit.
Well, it says original, they must do some sort of variations of this now.
The red ribbon.
Maybe we should invest and get that.
For sure, yeah.
Anyway, so next Wednesday evening, the 30th of January, kicking off at 7:30 PM at the Bowl, you face Derry City as they gear up for the start of the new League of Ireland season on February 15th, Friday evening game, I think, 7:45 the kickoff.
It is, yeah. They beat Shamrock, isn't it?
I think so. They beat Drogheda United last night, 2-0.
Yeah.
And they've got a game on Friday, really?
Friday night as well, I think, yeah.
So obviously you guys will be well up for this, but it's an important part of their pre-season, isn't it? They're going to be treating this one fairly seriously, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. It's fantastic that they've agreed to come, really, and they're using it as a bit of a pre-season training camp. So they're over for 4 days, 3 nights. They're training 3 times a day, once on the Wednesday before they play us. So they're taking it seriously in the sense of helping them prepare for their season. And they kind of bit my hand off, really, when we made the offer for them to come over. Looking at where they were in the time of their season, it kind of fitted quite nicely, we thought, and they agreed. So yeah, they're coming over to use the Isle of Man as a pre-season training camp for them. Hopefully, they really enjoy it. Mm. And that then maybe sells the island to other League of Ireland teams at a similar time of year next year. It should be a cracking few days. We've got some training sessions on at the Bowl that some of the Ballacameen students are going to be watching, and tied in a little bit with UCM. So we're hoping it's going to be an educational trip for more than just our players on the night, and it helps serve the Manx community well as much as anything else.
So as you say, so Derry are going to be based at the Bowl over those few days?
Yeah, so they've got a training session Monday afternoon, 2 sessions on the Tuesday, and again on Wednesday morning. So Ballacameen have been fantastic because they obviously use that facility for PE. So the two afternoon sessions there, they've enabled Derry to train there, and their students are going to get an opportunity to talk with the manager and see professional players train and professional performance staff work, which would be really, really good. They're going down to Carrefour twice on Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, so thank you to them for helping arrange all of that. So we're trying to get them integrated with the community a little bit while they're here, so it's we're getting something from them being here as much as them getting something. So
do you think any of the fellow League of Ireland teams will be sending over any scouting staff or coaching staff to watch the training sessions?
I have no idea. I'll have to talk to Declan about whether we have passes to allow people in or not, but the manager, Declan Devine, he's back there for the second time. After, I think it was 2014, was it 2015 maybe, that he was there last time when they did really, really well. And he's been fantastic with us, and he's really open to sharing what they're doing and having people come down and you know, watch and that sort of stuff. So yeah, it should be a cracking trip for them, but hopefully, as I say, we get a little bit out of it from the Isle of Man. And while I'm talking about it, I've got to say thank you to the Ascot for putting them up for the three nights, and as I say, Carfor and Ballacameen High School for enabling us to train, or to give them some training while they're over.
So how has it all sort of come about? It's obviously been a lot of hard work in the background for you, hasn't it? So
we're consciously always trying to find fixtures, certainly have been since September for the lads, and part of what we agreed when we came back into training was that we'd only train if we had something meaningful to work towards. Now, you could say the Ireland Games is meaningful, but if we're just spending 5 months thinking about the Ireland Games, by the time the Ireland Games comes along, the players are bored of it and their heads are gone, and you know, it's very difficult. So the Wolves game is great, and we might come on to talk about that in a bit, but it was important we have at least one or two games in the prep to up to the Ireland Games. And random connections, I guess, is prevalent in life, isn't it? So there's a gentleman in Northern Ireland who I've met at conferences through Isle of Man Sport. He works for Sport Northern Ireland. He's based up in the north of Northern Ireland. And when I was talking to him about potential teams coming over, he mentioned Derry before Christmas. We had a link with Kenny Shields, their ex-manager, but Kenny was no longer at the club. And Mike happens to be quite good friends with Declan, the Derry manager. So that was the connection, really. You know, it was an email into the secretary, making those dots, joining those dots for them, hopefully helping them to understand how maybe an overnight stay in a game on the Isle of Man might help, but they could do something a bit more if they wanted to. And within 24 hours, we had a reply, and then it was a case of all hands to the pump to, you've got kind of just over 2 weeks to get a game on and provide all their training while they were here. So it's worked out, and everyone's been fantastic to make sure it works out. And I only hope that the 3 or 4 days that they're on Ireland, they really enjoy and get a lot out of. I mean, Connors Key came in the summer, didn't they? And it seemed to do them.
Yeah, the world of good.
The world of good.
But you mentioned Connors Key, and you've had Wolves and stuff. And when you first took the job, you talked about setting these friendlies up, setting up these matches to, you know, to get the Isle of Man competing at a high level. How happy are you with how it's gone so far? You know, into your big plan, your long term plan.
Yeah, so far. You always want to do more, eh? But you know, I'm terrible for trying to push and push and push and push. And where we're at now is quite good. You know, hopefully we can announce maybe two more fixtures between now and the Ireland Games on Ireland. It's not only important to give the players something to work towards and prepare for, but you know, we've got some really good players over here. You know, and if you listen to a lot of the commentators in the pubs about Manx football, it's not in a good place at the moment. Lots of things need to change. But the Wolves' performance showed that the players are at a really good level when they can play together and they have access to higher level of competition. So, you know, we want to promote that to the Manx public where possible. We want to show that our players can play at this sort of level on a regular basis, which might open up other opportunities. But we also just want to, you know, the lads, and you'll see some video clips that we've done with them in the lead up to the game coming out as a bit of a promo. They're super proud to pull on that shirt and to have the honour of representing the Manx population. And we really want to be, you know, a group of people that the Manx public, whether you're interested in football or not, want to get behind and want to support. And it's easier to do that when the games are on the Isle of Man, isn't it? And it's better for us. We can give back office services, you know, our main sponsor, a lot more promotion if it's on Ireland. We can, the ticket price is £3 for an adult, £1 for a concession. You know, hopefully that demonstrates we're not trying to fleece people. No. We're trying to provide really high quality football, in this case, for reasonable cost, if not low cost, to just try and get people kind of engaged with us a little bit more and engaged with the level of football that these lads are capable of. So I'm happy with how it's going at the minute. I want it to be more and better and get even, you know, bigger teams necessarily than Derry, although people probably underestimate how good that standard is and, you know, how good they are and how well known and what a big club in Ireland they actually are. So, yeah, it's about more of the same, I guess, and then it's up to the players to demonstrate they've got the wherewithal to play at that level, and then hopefully people come along and watch them and support them, because we can only do these things if people do that. If we don't get people at games, we can't get games on, because we don't either cover costs or it's not worth doing it. So there's, the challenge isn't just to the players to turn up and perform. It's also, I guess, for anybody who has a bit of a soft spot for the Isle of Man or enjoys football, come and show us you enjoy it. Come along and support the lads. You know, they work ever so hard. And, you know, we want to be a group of people that people are proud of and not looking at them and going, what the hell are they doing pulling on a man shirt?
And as an added bonus, any spectator will get to see Andy in his replica Julian Ring.
Yeah, well, I'll bring that out next week. It was not too cold. Yeah. I was just going to say, you touched on the point before. You said we were obviously going to talk about the Wolves game in a little bit, but the performance and, you know, the players are at that level. Now, I was looking at the Derry City website this week doing a bit of research, and they've got a load of trialists in at the moment. They're bedding in a squad for the new season. Is there a possibility if someone catches their eye this on Wednesday that they could potentially, Derry could say, right, we want you to come and train with us for a couple of weeks or whatever?
Well, when I was on the phone to Declan, you know, there was a couple of tongue-in-cheek sort of comments around that, really. You know, you never know, you might find someone, or, you know, you might have somebody that we want to take away, and that's all part of it, really. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's a platform for the players. It's more likely that people might be interested playing against the likes of Derry than playing against Wolves under 23s, for example, because, you know, our lads are probably older than a lot of the lads that they're playing, and they're on, you know, long contracts and things like that. So, yeah, if any of the players do have ambitions of going and playing off Ireland, then it is a shot window. But from my perspective, I don't really want to lose our better players, because it could limit how far we can go with the squad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're not going to stand in anybody's way if an offer comes in. So it's all of that, everything I've described, and that and a bit more as to why we're trying to get these games on. It's not just for the 11 players or the 16 players or for me. It's for the island, really. And, you know, we're beholden if we've got contacts to try and, like I say, get a good standard of football over here that people can watch and get a little bit excited about, and then maybe it might drive the standard up on a Saturday because people want to be involved in that, and maybe more people will actually understand the players aren't as bad as they think they are. No. They just don't play very well on a Saturday all the time.
Well, talk about the players. You named a huge squad. Yeah. It has to be a huge training squad earlier this month. You know, obviously you can't play all of them on Wednesday.
No.
What, are you going to play 16 and then try and use them all, or what's the plan? Has Declan asked you that play quarters? You know, because obviously sometimes when you played the Welsh teams in the summer, that was the sort of plan, wasn't it?
Trying to get everyone as much of a with the Welsh team, certainly with Connors Key, they were a week away from a Europa League qualifier.
Yeah.
So I said I'd play 2-11, so the tempo of the game was really high for them.
Mm.
So is it they got something out of it, but also we had a bigger group of players to get that sort of experience. This time around, Declan and I haven't had that conversation, really. So it will be a squad of players where everyone gets an opportunity to play, but we're still looking to try and win a football match. I think the pre-season stuff was about a group of players and getting them experience over 3, 4, 5 games. This is about us building. You know, we've won our last two games. We've not conceded a goal in two games against some very good quality opposition. I'm not going to put that in jeopardy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need to build on our performances and not constantly be throwing a load of new people in all of the time. You know, we're building, trying to create something that is long-term rather than anything else. And you might ask, how does a 37-man training squad fit into that? Well, part of it is, I want to have a look at people in our environment. It's very easy to watch a game on a Saturday and somebody do quite well. But as I've said before, when I'm on here, what's required to play at the level we're trying to get to is slightly different to what looks good on a Saturday in the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at games, we're looking to identify people that might fit into our way of playing, how I want to play, the philosophy of play, and the position they might fit in within the formation that we play at this moment in time, and then bring them into the group to see if they can or not. Or to see whether they actually want to put the effort in over a period of time to do that. And people will fall by the wayside a little bit, and people already have done from the training squad already.
Wow.
It's too much for them, or they can't commit to what we're asking them to do at this moment in time. But I've also, I guess in some ways, been seen to give them that opportunity as well.
Yeah.
But we also make sure we try and do an 11v11 at every session. Now, if I just pick 24, 26 players, the chances are we'll never have an 11v11.
Yeah, yeah.
So believe it or not, we had 37 in the training group. Last night we had a session. We had 4 of the 5 goalkeepers there. And 20 outfield players. So we just only had enough to do an 11v11 due to sickness, injury, and people being away. So although it looks like a really big squad, it needs to be for us to do what we need to do on a regular basis. Now, you'll probably find over time it's the same group of 16 to 18 players that are there every week over and over and over again. And strangely enough, they tend to be the ones that play a little bit more. So the ones that can engage with it and stick with it will get a fair hit. The 37 men at the minute, as I said to the players 3 weeks ago, it doesn't mean they're going to be there. That will be the group the Ireland Games team or squad is selected from. There's opportunity for other people to come in. There's certainly scope for people to leave, depending upon how they're doing. Because the promise we see on a Saturday in, you know, half an hour or three lots of viewing them, it might not be there in our environment in the way we're trying to play yet. So there's lots of scope for changing and movement around, really. But it's a chance for us to get to know people and work with people. And, you know, the young lads that are in there, the 17, 18-year-olds, they've done excellent, you know, the first two sessions they've been involved in, and probably better than I was expecting. You know, so fair play to them for doing that. But, you know, the reason they came in was to maybe say, this is what it's like, to give them a little bit of, do you want it or not? And over a year or two, can you become a starter in this team rather than just a bit of a squad player? So that's the reason for it. You know, we don't want it just a bare bones of 16 or 18 people who know what we're trying to do. We want a bigger group. And then if we do have lots of injuries or issues, then people can slot in, and it's pretty straightforward. But we also need that size to actually put a session on every week. Which sounds, I know it sounds a little bit ridiculous, but that's how it is.
So obviously this is all gearing up as well for the Inter-Ireland tournament in Anglesey in June. So how are all the other preparations going in terms of that? Are you happy with how it's all progressing?
Yeah, I think so. Part of the good thing about having these fixtures is it diverts your attention, as I said, to something meaningful rather than something 5 months away. But at the same time, you can quite easily forget that you've got something going 5 months away as well, because you're thinking about what's going on now. We got an email through yesterday, so we know we're playing Wednesday, and then we'll have a day off, and then the semi-finals, if we get that far, will be the Thursday, and the final will be the Friday. So we know what we've got from a games programme point of view over there. We know how long we're going for, we know where we're staying, we know how we're getting there, you know. So all that sort of stuff done. It's now a case of working with a group of players with a few fixtures to find out who the right 20 are to go.
And if you talk about your preparations, at any point will you start thinking about the opposition? Will you be having a look at, obviously, Yves Mons are very vocal on social media at the moment, and about what plans they're doing, obviously they're quite similar in a way. They're having big coaching groups at the moment and stuff like that. Is there a point where you can start thinking, right, when we need to sort of maybe do a bit of scouting on X, Y, and Z? Or
Mark Adams has already got his binoculars out, and he's been in a few bushes at a few training events.
Learn from the best.
Yeah. He was over with Bielsa last week, I think, watching Leeds, so he's found out what to do. No, look, certainly we don't have the resources to go into the detail that the guys go into in the professional game, but it'd be naive for anyone to think that we're not looking at the teams that we're playing against and trying to develop a bit of a game plan to make sure that we come out on top. As good as any team is, you know, we want to play to our strengths, but we also need to be mindful of where they might exploit us a little bit. So 100%, you know, we'll go into every game that we play as prepared as we can be. Derry have only played one pre-season game that you can view the footage of so far. So, you know, whether they will play like they played last season or whether they're going to play like the one game that you can view the highlights of, it's difficult to tell. But
especially with a squad that's in transition.
So he's maybe, you know, Declan's maybe looking at the players he's got and fitting them a formation around the players that are available. So, when it comes to Ireland games, we'll be as prepared as we can be. But I don't think the FA will be paying for me to go scouting down to Jersey and Guernsey.
But surely you're probably expecting similar styles, though. It's not as if we're playing some South American team or a continental European team. There are going to be similarities between all sides, styles, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. And like I say, we've got to get very good at what we do and make sure they're thinking about us more than we're thinking about them. But also, like I say, be aware of where their strengths may be. You can go down a rabbit hole with all this sort of stuff. Anyone who watched Bjesla's PowerPoint presentation,
the stuff of legend.
Some of, I mean, I've worked in departments that we had to do that sort of thing, so I've seen it done. But a lot of it is just to reassure yourself you've done as much as possible. And that's the difficult thing as a manager is, you know, how many times I want to get the players in as often as possible to make sure I know they understand what I would like them to do. Mm. Yet the players are going, well, actually, like, we're amateur players and we've got families and, you know, so there's a point you've kind of got to accept that's the best that I can do in the circumstances that we've got. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And in a pro club, that's at a different level to what we can do. So we'll prepare as well as we can without confusing the players or giving them too much information, and without them thinking that we're more worried about the opposition than we are about how good we are.
Yeah.
So that, yes, so it'll be done, but we have to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just due diligence, isn't it?
So, yeah, I was going to say, talking about, well, the clubs will have probably, sorry, the sides we'll be playing in June will have probably noted the result from October when, obviously, we're going to talk about that now, is when you beat Wolves under 23s 2-0 in Telford. You know, a fantastic result. Obviously, they had a lot of age-range internationals in that side, wasn't it? Wolves, I think, were at the time, were second in that their league.
And beat United 4 days later.
So, obviously, a very handy team. How do you rate that performance? Obviously,
Lee Dixon and I were talking as the second half was going on, and we were, in the nicest possible way, kind of standing there shaking our heads a little bit and going, this is unbelievable. Because everything, especially second half, everything seemed to click. And I'd like to take a lot of credit for that, but I'm not sure I can. Because, I mean, my credit might be just putting the players in the right place on the pitch, but actually what happened was really, really, really good and heartwarming, you know, for the players who put a load of effort in, and they all came off, and they still say, you know, that's one of the best performances we've ever been involved in with an Isle of Man team, and it's certainly for Lee and I one of the best performances we can remember either playing in or watching. It's a shame it happened away from the island, and that was one of the
main... But do you think potentially there was no pressure on that fixture?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, we did our best to make sure we didn't put any pressure on them. However, you know, we did set up to win. You know, I still have people I know in the professional game, so they sent over under 23 videos of Wolves playing. So I'd watched them play 3 or 4 times. I knew how they set up for corners, so we had corner routines based on how they were set up. There could be some highlights hopefully coming out before the Derry game that kind of show some of that.
Right.
We had a system of play that matched them. So we had a plan that worked, and the players were able to execute it and do more as well. Do you know what I mean? It was phenomenal, really. So I don't know whether there would be people who would actually watch the game if I put it out online.
Hattie's highlights get ridiculous views,
It was honestly fantastic, and that's part of the drive of getting games on Ireland, is so to give the players the opportunity to perform at that level in front of their families and in front of their peers and in front of people who care about them.
Showcase their talent.
Exactly, and again, to display how good we can be on the Isle of Man at a sport.
So did you get, what was the feedback you got from Wolves that day? Were they surprised? Did they underestimated you? Or
I mean, it's difficult, really. They were upset with their players.
Really, right?
For being dominated in the way that they were. Don't get me wrong, they had an awful lot of possession, especially first half. But we were very organised, in the sense that, not that we organised the players, but the players were disciplined and organised, and they didn't really have many clear opportunities to score. The second half, because our lads got a lot more confidence out of that first half performance, we were 15, 20 yards higher up the pitch, winning the ball 10 yards outside of their area, and suddenly we were having, like, I think we must 15 shots at goal in the second half. You know, we completely dominated until the last 10 minutes when they came back into the game again. We had loads and loads and loads of opportunities to score, which was the main thing, really, for me, because quite often we play against those teams and we sit back and we defend and then we counter-attack, and every now and again we get an opportunity. Yeah, completely. But second half, we took the game to them and could have scored 6, 7, 8 with the chances the lads created, you know, and having a clean sheet against that level of opposition was massive as well. So the Wolves guys were great, you know, they were very complimentary about our players, but they were more concerned by the level of perceived level of play their players showed, because they would expect to beat an amateur side, considering their, you know, international players, some of them, you know, they train every day.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, and I must stress, it wasn't their full under 23 side, it was a hybrid,
yeah.
And it was some of the players that don't play regularly within their group, but that's how we get the games. Yeah. We say to them, look, we're a good level of opposition, we're men, we play competitive games, and your lads who maybe aren't playing in your 18s or aren't quite good enough to play in your 23s are going to get a competitive fixture, and you'll find out a little bit about them. Yeah. And Wolves certainly found out about some of them.
And would you think that will enhance your reputation going forward? Will more 23s be like, oh yeah, they've beaten Wolves, they'll be a good, you know?
You'd hope so. I don't know if you followed Brentford B.
Yeah.
On BBC, had an article on them last week. So they.
It's a very interesting project. That
it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. The fact they've come out of the. They've come out of the league structure, haven't they?
Yeah, for their academy. They don't have an academy anymore.
And they just play essentially friendlies, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So they set their own games programme up based on the needs of their players, and they've got a lot. And like the owner's Rasmus Ankersen, for anyone who remembers the Goldmine Effect, but the 21st club, I think it is, they own a Danish club and they own Brentford. Yeah. And they bring in some Scandinavian players, but also people who don't quite make it in the London clubs. And they give them
Moneyball.
And it is a Moneyball principle, that everything they do is based on stats, and they see why waste money having our own academy when most of them won't get anywhere near to our first team? Why not just take some of the people that don't make it in other academies and then give them a really great football experience so as they get into our first team? So they do that, and they go away and play Bayern Munich, they go up and play Glasgow Rangers, they play Liverpool, they go to Porto, and they travel around Europe delivering a games program. Now they've got a really good reputation, they beat a lot of these teams, and they're sought after now as an opposition, and I'd quite like to get us there, you know, if we can. And I'm not saying we're going to travel away to Europe and all the rest of it, but if we can get to a point where you've got an academy manager ringing us up and saying, can we have a game against you, then rather than us chasing people, we've got to a good place, haven't we?
Yeah,
so that's the aim now. It wouldn't necessarily be a fixture every month or a fixture every week, but if we can do something like that, especially on Ireland, and bring in Premier League and Championship 23 clubs to our door so people can see that level of football, the kids can be inspired, go, I could do that, you know, because they're seeing it on a regular basis rather than just on telly, then that to me is a good solution.
Massively. We've had quite a few questions in there, haven't we?
We have. We'll start off with our Belfast-based correspondent, former Sponsor Desk star.
T-boy.
Yeah, Rick Farragher.
He in text with you today, because Facebook memories, and he'd been, because it was FA Cup weekend, and he'd been somewhere the memory was of him going to Onk and Michael.
Oh, wow.
And now he's obviously on, was it Newsline or whatever it's called? Yeah. Correct me straight away. But yeah, he's setting some really good questions, isn't he, Dave?
Right, he starts off, do you think more regular competition against top Irish teams could be an option for the Isle of Man FA team? So he goes on to say, Belfast alone has Linfield, Glentoran, Cliftonville and Crusaders. Considering the cheap and regular flights and ferry services, is a pre-season tournament in the Isle of Man an option?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next question. he makes a great point, obviously. We tried to get a pre-season tournament on last pre-season and ended up, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but Connors Key, Altrincham, Bangor in separate games rather than as a part of a tournament.
Yeah.
I'm exploring that with people at the moment. It's an easier sell if, again, going back to that previous point, we, you know, beat Wolves, we do well against Derry. If we bring somebody else over, we do well against them. And then suddenly people, it's worth coming to the Isle of Man.
Yeah. And if Derry continue there, yeah,
exactly.
And if
Derry come this and have spent 3 or 4 days here, then and they see that we've got great facilities, that everyone's helpful without them taking the mickey out of us, you know, everyone's helpful and welcoming, then it's easier to bring teams over. So it's part of all of us, I guess, within the football community. If we want stuff like that to happen, then let's support it and let's make sure it does happen. You know, part of the sell, you know, to a couple of the Premier League clubs I'm talking to at the minute is we can bring 2 or 3, 4,000 people to the bowl.
Yeah.
but that's only if people turn up.
Yeah,
they want their kids to have that experience of playing against a lot of people under the floodlights. Now, if 500 people turn up, or 200 turn up for Derry, I can't make those arguments anymore, you know, and it's very difficult to bring teams over. So we've all got a bit of a part to play for that to happen, I think, and it's certainly something I'm looking at. If Rick's got any links into any of those clubs, I'd be very glad to speak to him about it.
And then Shea, obviously, is just signed for Glenarvan, who are based in Lurgan, aren't they?
Which
is a bit outside of Belfast, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's another potential link, isn't it?
Completely. We had a couple of good conversations with the Derry manager, Declan, and he remembers Shea well when he was coming up through the academy and when he played there. And he's already kind of said, look, you know, if we need a bit of help getting other games or speaking to people, then he'd gladly do that. And if we give him a really great experience with his team while he's over here, then he's more likely to do it, isn't he? So, the short answer to Rick's question is 100%. You know, we are trying to do those things, but we need everybody to help us. And the part the Manx public can play is by turning up to our games. So it gets really good publicity and teams think that it's worth coming over.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's almost back to the future, because remember Mifa tried to get a friendly with Cliftonville maybe a season or two seasons ago, and I started following them on Twitter, and they have a event in history, and quite often they played the Isle of Man. So you know, this is not a new thing, really.
No, not at all.
It's something we're rediscovering.
I think I remember Crusaders coming over. I'm pretty sure Glentoran have been over years and years ago, and because of all the cheap flights to Europe, we've lost out on a lot of stuff, but we're not selling what we could be really, really good at. And if we can get back to that again, a lot of it will be the standard of football, and we've got to show that we can play at a standard of football. And we've not done that, but we've not publicised it, and we've not had these sort of games to do that with. So if we can show we can do that, and then we might start attracting these clubs back in again, then it can be something that is sustainable for the next 15, 20 years, you know, rather than it being a one-off.
Yeah.
And I think there's the appetite there from organisations to be associated with that sort of thing. It's just, as I say, you know, the players need to perform, we need to get the results, and we need the Manx public to be at games in order to show that it's a viable concept.
Yeah. It all links in, doesn't
Completely,
it?
Completely, yeah.
Next question is in from Union Mills manager at the moment, Stephen Fox. He says, are players in Division 2 looked at regularly and considered for selection for the Isle of Man team? Just to add to that, we had a little tweet from Malou, who said that they thought there's quite a few goalkeepers in Division 2 that are worth a look. And you've said that, you tell the story, we talked about it off air, but you wrote to all the clubs, didn't you?
So after we had a horrendous result in the National League Systems Cup last March, wasn't it?
Still blaming me for that one.
Yeah, I think so. You travelled with us, didn't you? Yeah. Not a good moment, but probably not a bad thing to happen either, if I'm honest, in the grand scheme of things, because it allowed us to recalibrate and start again, in essence. A letter was sent out to every club, all the club secretaries, asking for anyone that might be, they think, worth considering for the Ireland squad. And also to any player that felt that I would like to come to a meeting. Now, I've got to say, we weren't inundated with names or people who turned up at that meeting from any division. The members of the current squad all turned up, but actually there weren't very many people who were putting their head above the parapet and saying, look at me. Those that did were looked at in one way, shape or form last season. Ash Higg, who was at Moran last year, he came into the squad as a Division 2 player, having watched some games. But we also said in that, or I also said in that letter that sent to the clubs, that next season, I only really want to be players being put forward if they're playing in the Premier League. Now, people may say that's not fair. My viewpoint is there's a lot of players and I can only be at one game. I don't think I'm being unfair by saying there's quite a big gulf between the top five or six teams in the Premier League and the bottom five or six. And then there's maybe another little bit of a gap to the top number in the second division.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at players, I'm looking at how they play against the better players on the island. Even those those games, people still aren't displaying all the things we require in order to move the game forward at a national team level or the highest standard level. So it's very difficult for me to look at players in the second division at the minute. The other bit, and again, people would maybe not like me for saying it, but I'll kind of put it out there, is that, you know, players need to be wanting to push themselves and test themselves at the highest level possible. If they're happy playing with their mates in the second division or in Combi 1 or Combi 2, that's fantastic. That's brilliant. And I love that. That's great. It's not really sending me the signal that they want to turn up every week and push themselves to be the best possible player they possibly can be. Now, if there's players in those divisions and I'm not aware of them, please, from managers' point of views, get in contact with the FA and let me know. But I would expect players who are really trying to push themselves to be trying to play in a Premier League side and push themselves against the best players in the Isle of Man. You know, that I'll name a name. Glenn Walker was in Corinthians Combi last year, wasn't happy with it, playing for St George's this year, away from his friendship group in order to try and stretch himself as a footballer and a young man. And every time I've watched him, he's been absolutely brilliant, and that's why he's in the group. So I don't dispute there are probably some very good players in the second division.
It's a hell of a commitment, though, isn't it, Paul? And, you know, we're talking about it. You've got training, you know, you've got once a week as well, in addition to your club training as well. And then every, you know, trips away, potentially for training as well as the games. And obviously the Ireland Games is another week, isn't it? 10 days away. So it is a big commitment that if you've got a family and stuff like that, you know, you can't go in half-hearted, is what I'm trying to
say. No, not at all. And that's why maybe some people have dropped out of this trip. Training group already, because other things in the next 8 months are more important for them, and that's okay. I don't have an issue with that. You know, once life is in a different place, then I'll happily re-engage with them and have that conversation. And like I say, if there's standouts in the second division, then let me know and I'll come and watch. But I'll come and watch if you're playing against one of the better teams, or if you get a cup draw, or because that's the only way I can really judge it. And I, you know, I don't. If people come and watch a Wednesday night training session and see the standard those players play at, it's the best football you'll see on the Isle of Man, because you've got all the best players or good group of players together. And I don't mean necessarily from a skills or tricks perspective, it's just good structure, good organisation, the intensity of the game is so, so high. If people come down and watch that and think that they can play in it as a Div 2 player, great, brilliant, let me know and I'll come and have a look at you. But the gulf between Div 2 week to week and what we do on a Wednesday night is pretty big.
Yeah, pretty big. I can imagine.
So, you know, I've got a group that I'm looking at the minute. I can see where they might play in the team and the system that I'm trying to play at the moment. I want to give them a fair crack. They're playing in the Premier League. They're playing against the highest level of football on the Isle of Man. Yeah. So they're going to be as close as most people. And then once we've had a little look at this group, if other people are out there that I've not looked at, let me know. You know, and that was an open invitation a year ago, and very few, if any, clubs actually took me up on that. So I'd throw it back at them and say, I can't be everywhere all of the time. If they're my eyes and ears, if they would like to let me know, tell me why. Yeah. I've had one club do it recently through a friend of mine, and I'll go and watch the player because they've given me some reasons why they think I should look at that player.
That's
and I will
do,
but
yeah,
I can't do any more than that, to be honest. No.
From the sublime to the ridiculous, Johnny Myers, a legend, has sent in a few questions for you. How was it being head boy at Stockport County? What were your duties? Anything you'd like to say to that?
Wow, yeah, it's a bit of a random question from Johnny, that, for some reason. I don't know whether he's got some dirt on me from some of the lads that he knows when I was there or not, but I would have expected a follow-up tweet if he did. For me, it was an honour, really, you know.
So is it like school? They pick up one?
It's the captain, in effect, of of the youth team, but they also made head boy. So back in those days, when you had to do jobs, head boy kind of had to clean the manager's office. So it was Danny Begara at the time.
Legend.
Absolute legend. Yeah. Uruguayan international. Yeah. Like, crazy, mad, brilliant.
It's often when you wonder how he ended up at Stockport.
It is sometimes when Ozzy Ardiles is his best mate. It's madness. But yeah, all the lads had to do jobs, and I had to check their jobs before we told Philly, the youth team manager, that we were ready. And if anything was wrong, and he used to go around with white gloves on the door frames and oh, it's just ridiculous when you think back. But it was good character building sort of stuff. But yeah, it would be my head on the block if anything went wrong. And I was also like the representative for the players. So if they had anything wrong or any issues, then it was my...
Gary Neville, shop steward.
Yeah, it was my job to tell the youth team manager. But there was a few things that I can't really disclose in a public forum that were going on that involved certain people that the then manager at the time was particularly close to. And that was essentially my career at Stockport carry over. Because
wow.
I was having to... share information about things that weren't great about particular people that were more favourited than I was within the organisation. So it was great. Good times. It took me a long time to get over it, but I'm all right now.
Well, he also asks, who did you play against who went on to make it?
Gosh, someone I played with that went on to make it was Aaron Wilbraham.
Oh, the striker.
Yeah. So he
Bristol City, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at Norwich. Randomly, he was at Norwich when I went there to work. And I went into the treatment room on the first day and Big Albie was on the treatment bed. And he was like, Phil Eljon, what are you doing here? Like, it'll be nice to see you. And like, you know, a multi-millionaire. And there's me kind of like, who used to be his captain, rubbing his leg. You know, which is a bit random. But so Albie was probably the only one out of the... my lot that kind of went on to have a proper career in the game. I think I don't want to do anyone a disservice, but they probably won't listen anyway. Not that you don't have a wide-reaching listener, but
you're probably right. To be
probably right. But as far as you've gone on and made it, James Beattie.
Right.
And again, I bumped into him when he came to Glasgow Rangers.
Most barrel-chested man in football.
He's a really weird shape, James. He's a really weird full stop, but he's a nice guy.
He's coaching now, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Is he Gary Monk's team at Birmingham?
He is, yeah. He was Accrington Stanley manager for a while.
And then he was brought in at Swansea, wasn't he?
That's
with Gary,
right, yeah. I think they did one of their pro licence or something, or A licence or something together. You know, Michael Owen at Liverpool, Jamie Carragher, Michael Ball, the Everton left back,
legend
Leon Osman,
writes to Colin for the Echo now. Baller,
Michael Brown at City, if you remember
Michael
him,
Brown,
Jeff Whitley,
defensive midfielder, Jeff Whitley, Northern Ireland international.
We were back in those days because of the way the league structure was, we played against your Premier League as it was now, it wasn't back then, but. So everyone who's kind of come through United, Liverpool, Everton, City, Blackburn, all those good academies in the North West, we'll have all played against at some point. And it was Damien Duff when he was at Blackburn.
So when you were...
I was playing centre midfield that day. I wasn't playing... I used to play right back, but I didn't back
up. Owen's pace and standards that sort of stand out at that point, because obviously...
I played a game just... after I'd got told I'd been released as a pro, and I asked to play in the youth team, and we went, I'm not saying it was down to me, but when I started playing in the youth team, we went on an 11 game unbeaten run. And we beat City and Liverpool and all the rest of it, but we played Liverpool, and there was this little lad, and I was marking him playing centre-back, and he just tore me a new backside all day.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable, and... now looking back, it was Michael Owen.
Yeah.
Playing as a 15/16-year-old in an under-18s or the 19s game.
Wow.
And he was unbelievable. But at that moment in time, he's just another lad on a football pitch and you're not really aware of him.
But he must have, if he was that young, he must have thought, hang on, he must be a bit special if he's in at this early age.
You don't think like that at 19. No, I didn't. I was kind of more concerned that I wasn't getting another contract and trying to kind of, you know, you're not there. Certainly I wasn't there kind of, you know, like the... It's a strange reference, but the Harry Potter reference where the old professor puts everyone's picture on the mantelpiece and you're there collecting stories or memorabilia.
You know,
I wasn't there to collect memorabilia. I was trying to make a career for myself. So when you think back, you think about all the players maybe that you have played against. I've played a lot of reserve team football against. Like Peter Davenport, Gordon Cowan were my reserve team managers and they'd play with us every day.
Gordon Cowan, Gordon Hill,
Gary Gillespie, they were still the better players in our training sessions and yet they were the coaches, you know. Yeah. So again, when you think back around the sort of people, and Johnny will have had the same when he's played, you know, you look back and when you reflect on it, you think, wow, you know, I've been around that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Johnny and I will probably both say that we were as good as any of them.
Yeah.
Whether that was right or not, in hindsight, but you didn't feel out of place.
Yeah.
And, you know, based on their experiences or whatever, they've gone on and done really, really well, and we've probably found our level.
Well, somewhere probably Mike Lowen is doing a podcast at this moment in time.
One of the probably the best I've played at youth level was a lad called David Thompson. Do you remember him from Liverpool?
Went to
Blackburn.
Had a lot of injuries, didn't he?
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Yeah.
And is he David, right wing, Dave?
He
played centre mid against us. I remember in my first year, and was unbelievable. Couldn't get anywhere near him. He was phenomenal, really, really good. And David Dunn at Blackburn as well.
David Dunn again, another barrel-chested.
Forever be remembered for that failed skill in the Birmingham match. Yeah.
But you could hit a football.
You certainly could. Yeah.
Long shots and set pieces seems to be a speciality.
We had one more tweet in. It's not a question. From Agent Rashid, he just said, "No question from me today. Just a good luck message to you and the team. Love from the agent."
The agent might be down next week trying to pick up a few Derry players. You never know.
Thanks.
Increases portfolio.
Thank you very much, and I've been drinking from his mug, shall we say. Like a lovely cup of tea Dave made me, so thank you, Agent Rashid.
Right, well, we got you in. Let's be rude of us not to look ahead to Saturday's fixtures in the Premier League and, of course, JCK Division 2. We'll kick off in the top flight with the game informing your former club, Rushden United, Paul, against St George's, 2 o'clock kickoff. I've said in the papers today, in the Manx Independent, in my preview, this is probably now a battle for third. Would you agree, Jody?
Yeah, I think talking to Bassi, and certainly after Rushden's result last week, that's about where they're at and where they're fighting for at the end of the season. So it'll be an interesting game. You know, watched Rushden Marys last week. Rushden, you know, put an awful lot of effort and endeavour into that performance and could have come away with a win at the end there after with Dan's header. So they'll be more confident than they would have been. I think they're missing Mike Williams, who's suspended now. Matty Lamb's still away, I think. You know, so they're maybe short on numbers, and depending upon what sort of squad Geordie's have out. I know Ivo was injured, couldn't train last night. Jay Skelton from Maxwell didn't train last night.
Furu's away, I believe.
Is away this weekend anyway. Yeah, so
Johnny Myers is out. He's got a broken toe.
It'll be an interesting game. And like most things in Manx football, the team that's prepared to work the hardest will probably get something out of the game and stick with it throughout, and there'll be a little bit of quality somewhere that might decide it.
A couple of weeks ago, Chris Cave from Manx Radio Sport rang me up, and we were telling him that he wanted to do a piece about, it was the week of the St George's Corinthians game, and he said, whoever loses this, is that them out of the title race? Now, at the time, this was only 2 weeks ago, I said, probably, but I still think there's a long way to go. But in that 2 weeks, seemingly a lot of things have changed. Now, Peel and St Mary's are now, got a comfortable gap, haven't they, Dave? And it's a straight shootout between them two, isn't it?
I would say so. I mean, you know, St Mary's have got the two games in hand. You know, it's always better to have the points on the board, but those two games in hand, they can make up that difference and they'll be level on points. So it really is a close run, Dave, for the title now. It all hinges down, well, it looks like it's going to hinge on that match next month, doesn't it? February 16th down at the Bowl.
And did you see Liam Doyle took a bit of umbrage to a headline on the back of the Examiner this week, which was Rushden dent St Mary's title hopes, because he said, well, if you look at the run-ins, which is a fair point, St Mary's have only got to play Peel at top six teams.
Yeah, well, it is definitely worth mentioning. I think there's certainly not a bad result for St Mary's getting a draw at Rushden. Rushden are in great form. They haven't lost since November. I think it is now. But, you know, they will have obviously seen that as a bit of a missed opportunity, but it was a fair result by all accounts in the end, wasn't
it? Yeah, I don't think either team could disagree with the outcome. And, you know, likewise, if one of them had nicked it, it probably would have just been about right as well. So,
yeah.
So do we think draw this weekend, or do you think maybe Rushden will edge it? Maybe St George's are missing a few?
I don't know. Like, I haven't obviously managed a lot of the group down there. Going to Geordie's away was one of the ones I was worried about, because I never really felt the players believed they could win, even though I felt they could win. Now, whether they still have that mindset with Geordie's, how they are now and the squad they've got, I don't know. But that would be my question to the Rushden lads, is can you believe you can go there and win?
And just, if you're Liam Cowan, are you sort of maybe, and you've been in a similar position, but frustrated at that early season, is possibly costing them from mixing it up in the top two?
It's a similar story to most years with Rushden. The lads as a group are a fantastic group. If they can find some consistency, they can challenge anybody, and they could easily win leagues. But the challenge for them, as they develop and get older, is to find that level of consistency. And obviously, Dan Hattersley coming, made a big difference to them. And he has that extra bit of game understanding that helps them manage situations. But that's their challenge. Can they be more consistent? And every time they have a big game, come out on top rather than not quite knowing which way it's going to go.
Dave, are you going to call a winner in this one? Or?
I was at the reverse fixture and it ended 2-0 to Geordies down at Corry Lowry, but it could have easily gone the other way. I think you were down for that one again, Paul. I think Mike Williams had two massive chances just before half time. It would have been a completely different outcome then. I see it being, again, equally close this time around. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended in a draw this time.
Yeah, it does look a coupon draw for me, that one. Elsewhere, Douglas High School boys, or just round the corner actually, take on Moran, obviously fresh off the back of a good win last week over Douglas Royal, Dave, that sort of reinvigorates moves them away from the bottom spot, doesn't
it? Yeah, certainly does. Put some 4 points clear of bottom club Laxey. It's a big win for them. Old boys, though, through fixtures and postponements and everything, they haven't played much football at all over the last 2 months, but they got back to winning ways with a hard-fought win at St John's, so they'll also be confident of this one, and they'll be wary that the last time they played a so-called bottom six club at home, they lost to Royal, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they'll hopefully be wary of complacency, but it could be a surprisingly close game, this one.
Moran were well-drilled, Paul. They used that long throw to, it's very much like Tranmere back in the day with Dave Challoner.
Yeah.
Not Matty, Cam Avery didn't actually play last week, but they've still got Matty McQuarrie and Sam Cubbin who can hurl with the best of them. It would be nice to just get them to do some sort of javelin contest. But
both of them got into the week this week?
Yeah, not just for their long throwing, I must say, but... that's quite a, they've got a skill set and they're using it, aren't they? And it's something old boys are going to have to sort of deal with.
Yeah, completely. And there's nothing wrong with that. You've got to play to your strengths, haven't you? And as long as you do so, you've got half a chance. But old boys are. You could say the same thing about old boys as you say about Russian. They've got a good group there. Some of the games I saw them before Christmas. They played some really really good football. They played ever so well. I remember when they were down to 10 men against Corinthians and got a result there. They pushed Peel really hard in the second half, up at Peel. So on their day, they're a really good group, but again, can they find that level consistently? And when they have a bad day, they tend to have a pretty bad day.
Yeah.
So it will, Moran's kind of hopes in that game will depend upon how Corinthians' mindset is when they step over the white line.
Old boys, sorry.
Yeah.
I think they're just probably going to just edge this one, Dave.
Yeah, I think Old Boys should be too strong, but it'll be close.
Douglas Athletic versus Castletown. Douglas Athletic, teams that are inconsistent, is probably, that would be one of the first names under the list, wouldn't they, Dave?
And yet they're still sitting pretty a bit. Are they fifth at the table? Sixth now.
And they're only, I think, only 4 points off what they got last season.
Yeah, so it's, we can look at their inconsistent form, but it's still been a good season for them. They coughed up a point to, was it
Moran,
Moran as well. Yeah, so, Castletown is certainly capable of getting a result here, but I would have thought that Athletic will be just a bit too strong for them. Castletown, they're having a bad time with it, aren't they, at the moment? They lost 11-0 to Geordies last week.
Combi have disbanded, isn't it?
They just need a bright spark, and I don't know if they've got any of their junior players back.
Well, I was going to just say that to you. Town at times have targeted fixtures
as
ones where they think they can get something out of. Will they have thought this one's potentially one that'll cough up a point or two?
Quite possibly. They certainly did in the reverse fixture. Speaking to Patty Quinney around about that time, they did. They brought a couple of players back for that. Whether they have for this, I don't know, to be honest. But if they have, they've got a chance of getting something from this.
Paul, obviously, Douglas Athletic ride in that mid-table, and that's probably where they're going to finish safely there. Will the motivation that Castletown is still obviously embroiled in that relegation battle make them want to maybe give them that edge in this game?
I'm not Douglas Athletic play on their pitch really, really, really well. Mm-hmm. And again, when I've watched them three times, I think, this season down there, they've been really good, and they play some really good football. And, when you give the ball to the Wolf, then there's not many other options, outcomes, is there? So I think if Douglas Athletic played to their ability as they did in the first half of the season, or first third of the season, where they were excellent, then they should have a bit too much for Castletown. So yeah, we'll
go home win. I think you're probably right. Home win
for
me as well.
Yeah.
Douglas Royal versus Corinthians, the Bella Fletcher derby, the first of the day. We'll go on to that a bit later on. This one again, Royal will be licking their wounds a bit. They've gone on a 4-match unbeaten run, and then they turn up at Crosby and were beaten 5-2 by one of their relegation rivals. They actually started the game quite well that day. They have Terry Regau, Taylor Andrews and Jamie Agnew, who looks a real live wire up front, were causing a lot of problems for the round back line in the first 10-15 minutes. But then the long throw started, and they were peppering the Douglas Royal goal, and the defence just couldn't deal with that, and then suddenly Morano a couple of goals ahead. They'll do well to bounce back this week, won't they?
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill struggle for them with this. I think they say that form goes out the window in a derby, but it's hard to look past the Corinthians' win. You know, they did well last week to get back to winning ways. They beat Douglas Athletic 6-1. They'll probably be looking for a sort of similar scoreline this week. But Royal, I mean,
some great young kids there.
Yeah,
Jacob Crook really impressed me last week. Obviously, he's been in the Australian squad.
Yeah, he's done really well since he's come in as well.
Last time I saw him play, I think it was the under-18s Ireland squad, and he was left wing. He was playing through the middle this week, and he did everything right. He was short passes, trying to turn defence into attack.
Yeah.
And as I say, they've got pace in that front line.
Yeah.
But they're just a little bit naive at the back, I think.
Yeah, it could be an interesting one. You know, they'll just try and start this game well and keep in it for as long as they can. But I just think Corinthians will be too strong.
Corinthians?
Maybe. Corinthians, I think themselves are kind of like wondering why things haven't quite clicked. And then whenever I've watched them, it's kind of been in fits and starts. So, I mean, they sometimes can be quite spread out, Corinthians, when they're defending. So if Douglas Royal can counter-attack really, really well, they'll get some opportunities. So, yes, on paper, Corinthians probably should win, but it depends on what they do when they don't have possession rather than what they do when they do have possession.
Fair enough.
Yeah. An interesting one. Yeah. We'll get that on a T-shirt. Yeah. elsewhere, the last game in the Premier League this week is the 2:30 kick-off at the Bowl. That sees St Mary's welcome an out-of-form St John's.
Yeah, speaking to Colin McGee before, he was at the St John's Old Boys game last week, he said, you know, they battled well, but they're a shadow of the team. You know, it's such a squad in transition at the moment. Got some really good youngsters coming through. You know, they just want to blood them. But yeah, this will be a step too far for St John's, I think. I mean, St Mary's challenging for the title.
With that draw last week, goal difference might suddenly come into the play. And obviously, I know they've got to play each other again on the February 16th, we keep saying, but yeah, unfortunately they'll be wanting to put a few past St John's, won't they?
I would imagine so. Yeah, and you know, with the characters that St Mary's now have in the group, they won't be able to put in second class effort. You know, they're going to be pushing and pushing and pushing, no matter whether they're playing well or not. So, it could be a tough afternoon for St John's. Having said that, you know, there's times I've watched St John's again this season and they've been all right, they've done well, and they've got a couple of good young players down at St John's as well who have come in to the club this season who we're keeping an eye on. So, you know, St Mary's should be too strong, really, especially on the ball.
It'll be interesting to see, we talked about it this off-air. Luke Booth obviously made the move up from Union Mills on transfer deadline day. And he's been in the first team squad the last couple of games, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's grabbed himself a goal. And you said you were down watching, obviously, last week. He looked good when he came on.
Yeah, he looked sharp. He made some interesting runs. I mean that in the nicest possible way. Some good runs. He had some good touches on the ball.
He adds an extra dimension to that. He's a bit different from Craig or even Hudge as well, isn't he?
He tends to run in behind and off shoulders a little bit more, which is interesting to see. So certainly I had a look and thought, you know, someone definitely we need to keep an eye on, really, to see how he adjusts to playing in that sort of team. And be interesting to see what Alex Harrison does with regard to if he starts him or when he starts him. He certainly looked like he could add to that Corinthians squad, which is probably an area of the pitch. Sorry. God, why am I keep saying Corinthians?
St Mary's.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, sorry.
JCK Division 2 will kick off with the Northern Derby, which one of our new reporters is going to, Rory Pooler.
Did a great job last week with the Youth Union Mills.
In the Woods Cup, he's doing Ramsey United this week. Now, before we go into the game, we'll just touch on Rory quickly. Did you see that he takes his notes audio, using
An
audio dictaphone.
Note. Yeah, so I know I've seen you do it on the coach trip back from games, but me and Dave are pretty old school. We tend to write things
soggy notepads. Yeah.
but I don't know. I'd be quite interested to hear the notes.
Yeah, this should be good. Yeah. Podcast gold.
It just reminded me that I did that. I must listen to that at some point and find out where it was.
I thought you were just phoning the order in.
Yeah. It's probably the Samaritans after that game.
But yeah, Ramsey versus Ramsey in the promotion mix. Ayr have brought in a couple of players, former players from Peel in recent times. This should be a good cracker, really.
It should be a good Northern Derby, yeah. I mean, Ramsey on paper will be favourites. But as you mentioned, I mean, Ayr have brought back Christian Penswick and
George Rawlinson and Harry Weatherall, I think, has been playing in recent
years. So all good additions to the squad. And so, yeah, it won't be long before they start working their way up the table. But I think... I think this will be a bit too early for them. I still think Ramsey will win, but it should be a good game.
Obviously, you haven't seen much of Division 2, but it's a proper bum fight at the top at the moment. There's potentially six teams that could still, you know, have got their hand in that promotion race, isn't it? Ramsey, a young side, obviously got the setup. They should be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even when they were struggling for the last few years in the Premier League, whenever I either watched them play or was involved with Russian, they've got some really, really good young players there. So it doesn't surprise me one bit. They're doing well in the second division at the moment. So I would expect them to win if they've got their full hit out.
Yeah, I think we both agree on that one. Yeah. Colby versus Foxdale, another team similar to Ayr that have sort of had after a slow start, have suddenly hitting their straps, aren't they, Colby? And they welcome a Foxdale team that we had the lads in last week, John Robertson, Jay Chatwood, that are also in that promotion mix.
Definitely. You know, this will be a good game as well. I think Foxdale, you know, they had the good result last week. They just about edged past Malou, but that was a close battle, a good win for them, a confidence booster. Colby, they ended up on the losing side of a 4-3 scoreline at Onken, but it was a good game by all accounts. Having added Alexa Carl Hickey and Ashley Blake to that squad, they're looking upwards again. Their league position isn't a true reflection really now. So this will be good. They could nick a point off Foxdale, but I still think the visitors will win this.
Paul?
Yeah, as much as it pains me to go against Mr. McKenna, I think Foxdale should win this. Colby, as Dave says, have added a few players, which has given them a bit more experience really than they had previously. But yeah, I would imagine Foxdale will win, but McKenna will still be the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, I reckon there'll be goals in that one. But as you say, maybe Foxdale just edge that one. Paul Rose versus Union Mills. Now, obviously, I think Mills won the reverse fixture, didn't they?
I think they did. It was Pulley's first defeat. Both go into it on the back of good results. Mills beat Youthy 2-0 last week, and Pulley got the better of D&D 1-0. Mills are always capable, aren't they? They're always capable on their day. They could do it. They might just get this result, but Pulley fighting hard at the top of the table. The attacking qualities they've got on that squad. We've already mentioned Steve Priestnell, but Mark Priestnell, you've got the Canopers. Yeah, I think they'll be too strong for them.
Police currently sit top, I don't know, at the moment, with a little gap of two points over the rest. But yeah, it's good. Still a long way to go in that title race, Jonesy. Mm. But as you see, we've talked about the squads on paper already, and the likes of Old Boys and Russian. But you know, the two Priestnells alone should have made them. Firm favourites, isn't it?
They, you know, when Burnsy was manager of the Ireland team, we were, you know, looking at Mark, and obviously we'd try and get Steve back in the Ireland squad on a regular basis until recently. So they're proper goal scorers, those two. So, you know, in that division, having people like that in your team, they're not going to miss very many and they're going to get lots of opportunities to score. So I think Pulley, with them, they're going to win a hell of a lot more games than they lose. So.
Yeah. And I think maybe just edge this one on Saturday as well. Onken versus Douglaston District. Dave, Onken, again, they fall into this bracket of inconsistent Jekyll and Hyde,
yeah, definitely. We should mention their game last week. You know, they beat Colby 4-3, but they played more than a half of that with 10 men after goalkeeper Callum Dawson was sent off. Yeah. Defender James Kurish went in goal and played really well by all accounts. So, special mention to him. So it was a good result for the O's, but... Again, we also have to mention D&D. 1-0 against Pulley is a good result.
That was sent off, I think.
Yeah,
one,
so you know, credit where credit's due for them. I think this will be another close game, and D&D might just fancy nicking a point from this one.
I'm kind of supposed, if you're David Rees, you've got the dilemma. Do you put James Karush in goal from the start? Because I presume the goalkeeper will be suspended this week. Or do you bring in the combi keeper?
Well, who knows, yeah.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks. Yeah. Make decisions like that.
I think he came on last week, didn't he?
He did.
He was sub as well, so yeah. But yeah, that one should be a bit of a goal fest up at the Nivison. I'm going to go Onk and Just. Dave?
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. But, you know, D&D might get something.
Paul?
Yep.
Okay. Michael United versus Youthy, another derby of sorts up at Valera Road. Now, Youthy, the wheels have come off a bit in recent weeks, haven't they, Dave? And I think they'll be looking to bounce back at the United, won't they?
Yeah, they'll be strong favourites for this one, I think. You know, bounce back ability is one of your favourite terms, isn't it?
Oh, well, I have to credit Ian Dowry for that, to be honest. But.
Yeah, and I think they'll be too strong for Michael. You know, Michael, just keep plugging away. They've got a good young squad there, I think. They just need to keep that team together, but yeah, Youthy should be too strong.
Yeah, definitely.
Malou versus Governors Athletic is the last game in JCK Division 2 this Saturday. Malou, you know, they beat Mills, then they lost to Foxdale, and they'll be probably looking to remedy this with a big win over the bottom side in the division.
Yeah, I can't look past a Malou win, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, there's nothing more to say.
No hope for the Governors Athletic.
There's always hope, yeah. You never know, but... You know, Malou, they've got a really good side there, so I think...
Yeah, they're doing well this year, aren't they?
So. I believe, I saw on the Twitter-wise, they signed Phil Knox, former Old Boys and St George's fullback, so a more than handy addition in Division 2.
To...
For Malou.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Knox is a very, very good player.
Yeah, so he'll be a great addition to their defence. Conor Dowell played last week, but I believe he was flowing in, it was overseeing family, wasn't he, I think,
yeah.
So he won't be about on a regular basis. But they've still got Craig Dolman, who
backed the hat-trick the other week, so yeah, certainly knows where the back of the net is.
Should give them the win this week against Governors Athletic. Right, I'm sure this is Paul Jones' favourite part of the
league. It's the only reason why he agreed to come on.
Yeah. Combi corner.
Yes.
It's a reduced combi corner this week. Only four games went ahead in the two leagues last Saturday.
But, we should interject, not because of the weather.
No, all walkovers. Yeah. So. Yeah, runaway leaders, St Mary's, their game was a walkover against Laxey. So yeah, Peel, they ruthlessly dispatched Moran at Douglas Road. They remained 10 points behind.
What was the score now, Dave?
Pardon?
What was the score?
What, do you really want to know?
In Peel's, yeah?
Yeah, 11-0.
Oh, right. Yeah, that is ruthless.
Yeah, it was. they remained 10 points behind the champions-elect St Mary's. Aaron Castain and Danny Lane both got four goals each, while Johnny Kelly, Billy Kenyick and Matty Skillicorn also scored. Skillicorn and Billy playing in the combi, that's a pretty strong team.
That is a very strong
team. Very strong team.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Bradon claimed their fourth win of the season in style with a 6-1 win away at Douglas Athletic. Mike Lewis and the evergreen Jeff Murphy both bagged braces, and they were joined on the score sheet by John McMillan and Gary Thomas.
Jeff Murphy scored some goals, hasn't he?
Yeah, great hairstyle as well. there's a high scoring affair at Ballaclone in Combi 2 where Ramsey beat Michael 9-3. Fiona Agun, sorry if I've said that wrong, but
I think you're right, yeah.
He scored a hat trick, while there were braces for Matt Montgomery and Martin Tor, plus goals from Kyle Bargate and Greg Hepburn.
Martin Tor still banging him in the Tor
Racer. That's it. And obviously his son is doing well in the first
team.
Yeah,
Cameron, yeah.
So well done to
Legacy.
Him. the other game in Combi 2 saw Aaron Colby share four goals in Andrews. Special mention to Jamie Skillen.
Yep.
He played his first game for over a year and he grabbed a goal.
After injury, we say. That's just not because he wasn't being picked.
He's made a long way to come back and he grabbed himself a goal. There's a bit of debate on Twitter, though, isn't there, Andy?
Yeah.
Some people are saying it was 2 yards out, others say it's four yards out.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll meet them in the middle and say three, shall we?
Yeah, but a goal's a goal. Yeah. Well done, Jamie. Also getting a goal with Steve Meelan for the Tangerines, and goals from Connor Thompson and Jordan Edge salvaged a point for Colby.
Fantastic stuff, Dave.
As always.
Dave Reed-Zuella?
Friday's not looking too bad weather-wise. It'll be mostly dry with just a few scattered showers, but it's going to be quite heavy overnight. There'll be some rain early afternoon on Saturday, plus strong winds, so wrap up well.
So what you're saying percentage wise, you got it spectacularly wrong last week.
I did.
You said 30% of the games would be off. Actually, I think if you listen back, I said I thought it was going to be higher. So none of us are going to get.
Yeah, exactly. So
covered us. Neither of us covered us.
Keep quiet. Yeah.
So what do we think?
I'll go for 25%.
You reckon a quarter of games will be off?
I don't really, but I just want to say a number.
Okay. All right. Did you hear that? Nearly got it right the other week, so it's gone to his head, didn't
he? That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd always give up when you get it right.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
We've discussed the men's football on Saturday, but there's a historic first ever Women's Football League Cup final is taking place on Saturday. Not the historic first ever Women's Football Cup final, but the first to take place on a Saturday.
I think I follow that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you do. This is why Hattie deals with women's football. It's so complicated. But yeah, so it's taking place 5:30 at the Bowl on Saturday. It's another Bella Fletcher derby. The monopoly continues. It's duopoly, sorry. It's Douglas Royal versus Corinthians, Dave. And Hattie is kindly...
That's an amazing document, that, by the way.
This is a stacked
a two-page stat pack
for Hattie's kindly produced. We're not going to go through them all, because there is absolutely tons of stats here.
What's your favourite stat, then?
My favourite stat, actually, is this one, that if Royal win on Saturday, it will have won it in the first, 10th and 20th Floodlit Cups. So that is a good stat, isn't it?
That is a great stat.
Dave, what's your favourite stat?
Well, I don't know if he's mentioned it on here, but he put it in his preview in the paper, was that Corinthians have won it in every season ending in an even number.
Right.
And Royal have won it in every season ending in an odd number.
Right.
So I thought that was quite a good
stat. Another good stat for you, Paul. I know you like this one. 8 of the finals have gone into extra time.
And how many?
20 something. So 8. So if you are going to go, 5:30 kickoff at the Bowl, wrap up warm.
Because the chances are you'll be there a while.
This is the first time it's been played on Saturday, as we've said previously, on a Friday and Sunday only. Any others, Dave?
I got a mention of one of these, I just realised.
Yeah.
He says Corinthians were the first team to win a match in extra time in the 2009-10 season, defeating Royal 3-2. He says, I do believe Dave Norton was reporting on that match as I was away travelling.
Do you remember it, Dave?
I do, because Sarah O'Reilly scored a belter in extra time to win it. So, yeah, it was a good game, that.
Well, I think it'll be close again. Are you going to call the winner, Dave, on that one?
I think Royal. But Jay Burden's back.
The Burden effect. The bomber is back, so. Back from Tenerife. So yeah. I'm going to go with Corinthians just because of that, I think.
There you go, big factor. Are you, Paul, any ideas?
Because I'm saying Corinthians a lot today, there must be a reason for it, so I'll go for Corinthians.
You heard it here first. Before we go, just a couple of things I saw on the wires this week. Paul, while we've got you in, get your opinion on it. Jersey are going to try and get a team into the English leagues next season, and they're called... I'm not too keen on this.
No, I don't like the name.
The Jersey Bulls. Yeah. Isn't there a basketball team?
Chicago Bulls. Yeah.
So,
I don't like the dairy farming reference. That's what it's about.
Of course.
Yeah. Did you not go?
No, I didn't get that.
Right, okay.
No.
So clearly, it's not a great name.
Jersey
it?
Cows.
Yeah. I saw that they appointed the manager yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then did a bit of a press release, and I kind of shared that on some social media. Mm-hmm. Fair play to them.
So they're going down. Those the backstory to clarify. They're trying to go down the route that Guernsey FC have gone down.
Yeah.
Which I think is a better name. Jersey FC would have been there.
Yeah.
But they're now 3, 4, 5 seasons into that project, Guernsey, yeah. I think, and have gone up a couple of levels.
Yeah, went two divisions and then have kind of stabilised. Yeah. I spoke to their manager.
Tony Vance,
about 3 months ago now. So, I had a good chat with him about their story and they're kind of in a rebuilding phase, really, with younger players. And he's hoping that they'll be able to kick on again. So,
but Jersey, they'll enter at league level 6, which is a sort of level above the Interleague Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's for us, Northwest Counties Division 1 is the equivalent.
Yeah.
So then you've got the Premier Division, then Northern Counties 1 and 2. And then it's National League North,
right?
Then National League, then League Two,
right? So,
that's the step.
It's quite low down on the pyramid,
yeah.
But as I must stress, this is still all to be ratified. I think they've had permission from the English FA now, but bizarrely, they have to get permission from the Jersey FA,
which they got on board early on. So that should just be a
formality,
off.
Yeah. And then they'll hopefully have their first league game in next season.
Season, yeah. So I mean, fair play to them. It's good. The conversation we had off air, it's one of the options that we have in order to restructure the game, if there is the will to do that. Add it into the mix with 3 leagues, add it into the mix with 14-team Premier League divisions, so as you could enter step 6 that way. It's an option, we're considering all options, shall we say, and, I've had conversations with various different people about those sort of things. So, again... For things like that to happen, you need people to support it, and you need people to show willing and the way they can do that is by turning up to some of the stuff that we're trying to do over the next few months.
All links in, as we said before.
There you go.
It's the circle of life.
The circle of life. And yeah.
Circle of Manx football. Before we go, I haven't prattled on enough today. David, this is weird, me talking about you. It's like talking about another woman in front of my wife, Dave. Because I'm doing another podcast now. Have you heard this, Paul?
You're doing another one?
Yeah, a news podcast.
Where do you find the time to do
this? I just podcast daily.
The thing is, it means he doesn't have much time for Football Manager.
Yeah, it has. My York City career has taken those directions. Yeah. But yes, so we're doing a news podcast. Me and a few of the guys from the newsroom. So if you're interested, it is also on Audio Boom. If you want to follow us on social media, it's at IOM News Podcast. It does feel like I'm cheating on you, Dave. It does. I'm not going to lie.
Don't worry, you're forgiven, mate.
My podcast wife, and I do, you know, often make a rubbish joke and look to you to laugh, and you're not there. So it's, you know, there's a lot of hollow.
I think what you really miss is the biscuits, though.
That's a good point.
How many jokes do you make about the news?
Well, it depends what the news is.
I was going to say. You're not trying to shoehorn jokes in it.
All the time, Paul. Yeah. That was week one's problem. We had a lot of feedback, after that week. So, needless to say, I've been for some training since then. But, if you're interested, feel free to have a look for that. Paul, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure. Yes. Thank you for having me and allowing me to waffle.
Good luck for next week. We should remind people, 7:30 at the Bowl next Wednesday. £3.
£3 for an adult, £1 for a concession. Please come along and support your island.
Yeah. Well, one of us will be there. I'm sure Dave can't go out after dark, can you?
No, I'm not allowed.
No, it's a true story. Right, remember you can listen to all our back catalogue, including, have we done three now with you, Paul?
This season, yeah.
Throughout.
I think, isn't it?
No, two this season.
Two this season, yeah, one.
Maybe even more, but maybe on four.
I think we're on four.
I might do a playlist, the Paul Jones collection.
Don't do that. You'll just hear me saying the same thing over again.
I get away with it every week.
They're all available at audioboom.com/channel/MaxFootball, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and of course Google Podcasts. Until next week.
It's all for now.